Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm playing softball yesterday, and a new guy shows up on the field and comes over, says hi to me, and then a few innings later, he walks over and he says, "I just texted my wife. I told her that you're out here playing ball with us." And she said, "Tell Bob that I love his conversations with Joseph Lindsley every morning." Joe, you're a big hit around Chicago. Hello to you. How are you? Oops. Do we have his button pressed? Hang on a second. He's left his regular news bunker in Lviv. There he is.
Sorry. That was my fault. Yeah.
That's okay.
I am in the city of Dnipro, which has been sort of a home base here the past week during all these little side trips to other cities around here. Dnipro is the fourth largest city in Ukraine. And it's really, for example, in my hotel, every morning there's many United Nations officials. So this is another humanitarian center. And the hospital here is, the main hospital here is taking on the burden from the front lines and from so many of the hospitals that have been closed and occupied, or that are currently in occupied territories. And so in some ways, it's like Lviv in that sense, but much closer to the threat. We've had a couple air alarms today. The skies over Dnipro have been calm. Most of the fighting is still to the east and to the south. The Russians are really making an effort to move toward the city of Zaporizhia, from which I spoke to you, I think, was it last Friday or Thursday? They're trying to inch forward. But there is, it seems, some major good news today. The city of Severodonetsk, which is the furthest east Ukrainian-controlled city, home to the largest chemical plant in Europe, or one of the largest. As of yesterday, it seemed that the Russians had all but taken the city. And then today, the Azov Battalion, which that's the very kind of wild battalion that comes from the city of Mariupol, they posted a video showing their tanks going through the city of Severodonetsk. So the city is once again contested. Ukrainians have taken back at least some territory in Severodonetsk.
That is good news. I guess the bad news today is Russia hit Kyiv with missiles. They say it's an attempt to disrupt the supply of Western military equipment to the frontline Ukrainian units. What are you hearing there, Joseph?
Yeah, I was talking with friends in Kyiv because, you know, Kyiv had gotten into a sense of calm. You know, life was coming back to normal. Even refugees and women and children who had left for other countries in Europe have been coming back. In fact, the border crossing in Poland has gotten busier on the incoming side. Many of those people were coming back to the city of Kyiv. So today was it was a realization that the whole country remains under threat at any moment. And people are very uncomfortable in Kyiv right now. And I think here in Dnipro, I mean, even during the alarms today, people are walking around. But it's a reminder that those missiles could come down at any point.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
Give us a bit of a geography lesson. Where are you in relation to where most of the Russian fighting is going on?
Well, for example, when I spoke with you on Friday, I was coming back from the city of Bakhmut, which I couldn't give too many details as to where I was at the time. We were bringing some refugees, a woman and her children and two journalists back from Bakhmut, and we could hear the constant shelling. We were only about 2 miles from the fighting. In fact, today I spoke with friends who were in the Ukrainian military who were fighting nearby there, and the situation, even when I was there last Friday, was much worse than we even had realized. It's extremely intense fighting. And so I think that's close to that's maybe an hour from Severodonetsk. So we see that the Russians are really making a steady push to take smaller cities that are bordering territory that they currently occupy. But I think today's strikes on Kyiv show that they still want to keep the entire nation on edge. And that seems to be part of the strategy.
It's Journalist Day in Ukraine, so happy Journalist Day, Joseph. Tell me, what is that all about?
Yeah, you know, Ukrainians love holidays, even in wartime. And I was sort of surprised, but throughout the day, I received very thoughtful text messages and personal greetings here in the streets of Dnipro from people saying, happy Professional Day. And even people bought me a lunch and a beer. And there really is an appreciation for any Americans to come here and today, especially for journalists. And So it's a sign of one thing I like about Ukrainian culture. There's a thoughtfulness to it, sort of without jaded irony, even in this horrible time. Mm-hmm. I think as the government in Ukraine pointed out today, the estimate is that 32 journalists have been killed in this war. When I was in Bakhmut, I met a French photographer, a very brave woman, and she had been close. She had seen the missile hit the ground, and the blast destroyed her camera. She wrote to Sony, and they said they'll send her a new camera. But everyone here, is under some kind of threat, and that would include the people trying to share the stories of the truth of this war.
It's comforting to hear the stories and encouraging to hear about Ukrainians making comebacks, as you described in that one city a couple of minutes ago. But what's very depressing, I was watching the CBS Sunday morning program, and you hear the experts talk about how, yes, the Ukraine military might take back, actually, some of this territory that the Russians have right now. But when they take it back, they're going to just have ruins. I mean, and you describe so beautifully the wonderful people and the sidewalk cafes and some of the scenery that hasn't been bombed out, but so much of the country just destroyed. I mean, it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's when I saw the video of Azov Battalion coming down the street to Severodonetsk. It's absolute carnage. I mean, everything is destroyed. Some of those cities in the east were, they're industrial cities. So they already had some level of poverty, not poverty, but I think that we would see in Baltimore, nothing like that. But these past 8 years, Ukrainian cities have really made strides to improve the life in the city. And I was talking with a friend who lived in Mariupol. And said, it was an industrial town, but they had built beautiful parks. They had a lovely beach. And now the whole city, as he said, my city is completely destroyed. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. And this is what we're starting to realize, too, is like the impact. And I was at a shelter today where there were children who were being temporarily housed here in Dnipro, the psychological effect. And there's a lot of good people from around the world working to make sure that they have good psychologists that can come here and help, because you got 6-year-olds with PTSD. So we have the structural damage and then the spiritual sort of soul damage that this has caused, which is going to have long-term effects.
It certainly will. Joseph Lindsley, editor of Ukrainian Freedom News. Joseph, I'll let you go so you can enjoy more of the refreshments the Ukrainians are giving you for Journalist Day.
It's not a party, but
talk to you tomorrow.